prophecy sometimes gets a bad rap. A little bit like the proverbial boy who's cried wolf one too many times. Or, if you prefer, the ominous warning of winter is coming if you're a little bit of a Game of Thrones fan, being the lone voice that calls a community to hear can be lonely and long, draining and daunting. And yet, this is the work of a prophet, to look and listen, is what we hear a prophet to say. And you and I, we decide what to heed, which words, and with what fervency. For example, do we have to wash our fruit before eating it? Does coffee have positive or negative health effects? Prophets call communities out on both of these things. And we're always determining back and forth. However, last week I asked you to discern good news, bad news, and news you didn't really particularly need. I'll let you decide which of those was what. Each of the week of this month, we will look at good news, one of the Gospels, each one written at a slightly different time, for a different audience, by a different author. With that information, that perspective, something we can learn from each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today, we get to start with Matthew. Written by a Jewish scribe, the Gospel of Matthew composed, most likely, for a Jewish Christian audience in the diaspora. After the temple was destroyed during the siege of Jerusalem in the 70s, the faithful who were fearful scattered. Can you just begin to imagine the scrolls, the prophecy of the anointed one, Christos, who would proclaim justice, balm to the hurting souls, particularly at a time when persecution had begun. So the gospel, the good news of Matthew, compiled with the narrative of Jesus, Messiah, where the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in their listening. So the Gospel of Matthew began with the telling of the family tree from generation to generation. We, all of us collectively, waiting for the anointed one, the Messiah. Prophets who had foretold about God's chosen servant. Days gone by to the birth of Jesus, waiting for this one who would bring peace and righteousness, making it like it ought. And then in the first chapter of Matthew, the branch by branch highlighting of the ancestral tree, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Judah. But like a thorough genealogist, the gospel writer, we call him Matthew, turns open that photo album and says more names that we know. Boaz and David, Solomon and Josiah. And then in the most revolutionary way, where women aren't given names, says Ruth. And the wife of Uriah, that's Bathsheba, we knew that, and Tamar, and Mary. In the long line of God's people, the coming of a Savior, the one who would set the world right. Don't you feel like the long scroll has been rolled out? Listen to how God described the suffering servant in the days after the Babylonian exile. God talks of the chosen servant with the description of the one who acts and moves in history. Three times in those verses Becky read for us in the prophet Isaiah is there justice that happens. In my study of scripture in preparation for this morning, I chose that paraphrase from The Voice. This version is written as though scripture was a script to be acted out by actors in front of us. So imagine in your own mind, it's the voice of God we just heard. And you can pick who the voice of God is, whoever you've seen in a movie. Maybe it's Morgan Freeman. Maybe it's James Earl Jones. Maybe it's Octavia Spencer, if you liked The Shack, your favorite actor. Okay? So Jesus is walking with the disciples, and questions are coming up, the gospel lesson with the crowd. Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? You see, in the Gospel of Matthew, the focus on legal matters is central. It's not at all a side issue. And Jesus teaches in the rabbinical style, offering a parable as an answer. If you had a sheep fall in a pit, wouldn't you save it? Of course, I'm going to heal the hand of the withered man. And then voiceover style, whoever you picked for the voice of God, that's where you hear the scripture from Isaiah. That's where the passage is. James Earl Jones or Octavia Spencer or whoever you picked. That's where the fulfillment passage from Isaiah is read. We're reminded in the Gospel of Matthew that the good news is fulfilled as we study scripture. That's why we give our third graders Bibles. That's why we give our confirmands Bibles at the beginning of their confirmation journeys. You know, in some churches I've worked with, they give Bibles at the end of confirmation to celebrate. I'm so glad we got it right and gave it to them at the beginning so that they can study all along and learn as they do the confirmation process. It's our greatest hope that they get engaged enough to explore their gift, to read and ask questions of their Bibles, to study and ponder the scripture, to interact and to ask questions, to wonder about their Bibles. We are encouraged, friends, to live out our faith by using our Bibles as well. So I would encourage you also in the regular study of your Bibles. There are no graduated or retired Christians. At each stage in our faith development, we too need, I know, at each stage, we too need moments to pause and moments to engage. We need moments in which we say, how is it that for this stage of life, I'm going to study? It might look different than it did in the previous stage in my life. I love to hear how some of you have done personal study with online modules. Some of you through the Upper Room, or with the Richard Rohr studies. This week we've begun our Sunday school classes, and I want to commend to you, if you didn't come for Sunday school today, we have some strong Sunday school classes. Consider coming before worship and being a part of those Sunday school classes. Pastor Jim and I are both teaching Bible studies this fall. You heard me mention mine on Faith in Washington. He's teaching a study on the life of David. Take a look at joining one of those classes. Also, our Book of the Month Club that meets on Thursdays. Consider how you might connect with one of these opportunities to be in regular study. Peter Noems, the former minister at the Harvard Memorial Church, tells this story of an awkward circumstance in which an anonymous benefactor gifted the church with what should have been a great gift, as many Bibles as were needed to fill all of the pews. But he says this: before proceeding too far along in this generous gift, I decided to take some of the advice of my colleagues, and I found that their reaction was apprehension. In fact, some of them were suspicious of the motivation behind the gift. What does the benefactor want or expect? And I was warned that in placing Bibles in the pews, people might steal them or take them home with them. Further, I was warned that people might think that this is a fundamentalist church. If you see Bibles in the pew, he was told, you might have an image problem to deal with as well. But the concerns notwithstanding, he says, we accepted the gift. We placed the Bibles in the pews, and over the years, we lost quite a few of our Bibles to theft. That is to say, people took the Bibles home. Maybe they even read them. More interestingly, he goes on to note an experience I wonder if you have had as well. Have you ever seen someone from your past, but you can't quite remember their name? You know their face, but you just can't quite place their name? He suggests that people seem to have the same lament with their Bibles as well. I echo this. How often I've heard someone say, my grandmother gave me a Bible at Easter when I was in elementary school, but I haven't looked at it in a good number of years. It's kind of like a friend I've known from a number of years ago, but I don't remember exactly what's in the Bible. Exactly? Let this be a fresh opportunity to dust off your Bible, or let the church know if you aren't exactly sure where it is. We'd be happy to find one for you. And hear the good news. The Gospel of Matthew shared the good news not only with the Jewish Christians of Antioch in the first century, but the fulfillment of God's promises of the Anointed One here and now today. For all who suffer and for the world in need of right side upping, God's chosen one is breaking through with justice here and now, generation after generation. Prophets have told us the Messiah would be coming to bring justice, a new kind of justice. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, son of Mary. Jesus lived a life full of God's ways, taught a radical kind of love, died for that love, and rose again. Generation after generation point to how you and I We're called to study that scripture, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So to do the gospel of Matthew is to continue as lifelong students of God's good news in the fulfillment of studied scripture. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.